Psalm 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man or a young woman cleanse their ways? By taking heed according to your word. How do we get our young people to live clean lives? By teaching them the word of God. If they live according to the word, their lives will be clean. And we won't have sleepless nights. And we won't have to, we won't have crisis to manage. We will have peace. We will have peace. You know, God wants to give you peace about your children. And he gave us a way to obtain that peace and to have that peace, to enjoy it. And that is by teaching our children the word of God. And so we believe, as we look at the world today and how young people live today and what's available to them in all kinds of temptations and how the devil comes to steal their opportunities to find the Lord, then we understand that we have to be very diligent and seize every opportunity to teach them the word of God. And the church has a role to play, and we want to play that role. But we need the parents to work with us. We cannot do that if they're not available. And it's the same with every one of us, you know. God has a lot to teach every one of us. You know, we haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived. And so I need to be available to the Lord so that he can teach me. But I'm always absent. I'm always unavailable. Then I have come to the end of my growth. And I don't want to just arrive at where I am and say, well, this is all there is to life. I know there's a lot more. And I want it. I don't want my life to just be wasted on empty things. I want my life to count for something. I want to leave more than a headstone behind. Amen. I don't need a headstone. I don't want a headstone. I don't want a headstone. I want the people that I've touched to be the proof that I've been here. And my children stand first in line. First of them. They first. I want to touch them first of all. If I cannot leave a generation that serves the Lord, then I will have failed to some extent. You know, what's it worth to gain the whole world and lose our children? We don't want to lose our children. So we want to invite you to work with us. Work with us. Work with us. So that we can reach them. Of course, you have more responsibility than we do to teach them at home and to bring them up in a godly home and atmosphere and teach them the word of God. But we also have a role to play here at the church. You know, if children don't learn to be faithful at church, they never will be faithful at church. And if we know that when we're not faithful at attending church, then we drift. We drift. We slip away gradually. Don't wait till the crisis comes and then suddenly want to do something. It's too late then, most of the time. You can't wait for that. You know, we learn line upon precept upon precept. We build that wall brick upon brick, layer upon layer. And when crisis comes, we want that wall to be strong so that they can make it through and we can make it through. So faithfulness is one of the most beautiful attributes anybody can have. You know, the Bible says God is faithful. And we cannot imitators of God as the Bible says. Teaches us to do if we're not faithful. It begins, you know, it a lot of all these good things begin with faithfulness to God. And we need to be faithful to the next generation. We need to be faithful. You know, we live in a world where wealth and has become a god, mammon. The Bible calls him mammon, wealth. And we don't have a problem with wealth, and God doesn't have a problem with wealth, except when it becomes your god. And so, you know, it seems that we train up our children to gain wealth and, you know, all of that. And I'm wondering about the church of tomorrow. Who's going to be the pastors of tomorrow? I'm not going to be here 50 years from now. Don't do that to me. You don't know what it is. Either the Lord has stopped calling young people because he's coming soon, or either somebody's not listening. It's one of the two. It's one of the two. So let's think about all of this. What kind of church do we want to leave for the next generation? I would love to leave a church that's on fire for God. White hot fire. You know, we leave at the top, not the bottom. And so we all need to do this, right? It's not my job alone. That's, you know, this is the body. And the body, the Bible says that in Ephesians 4, that the body ministers to itself. Yeah, everybody's involved. Everybody's involved. So you pray about that. Now, that's not where I'm going this morning. I just wanted to say that. I want to talk with us today. We've been talking about this, the kingdom of God for a number of weeks now. And today, and we've touched a little bit on some things that I want to say this morning. But I want to talk about the secrets of the kingdom. There are some secrets in God's kingdom. God has a way to hide things in plain sight. Because, you know, you're not looking there anyway. I'll just put it where you don't look. But it's there for you to see. If you would care to look for it, you'll find it. But he puts it in places where we don't look. Because we're looking at other things. And our minds are focused on other things. And we're in pursuit of other things. And then we miss the good things that God has for us. And I'm telling you, God wants to make your life easy. Life in God's kingdom is easy. It's not hard, it's easy. Jesus said, my yoke is light. And so if your yoke is a little hard on you and heavy, then you have slipped out of some principles of the kingdom. Is that okay to say that? Okay. So there are some secrets that we need to look into, because the kingdom of God is here. It's in your heart. It's hidden in your heart, first of all. We're in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. That's how it works. I cannot explain that mentally. I just see what the Bible says. We're in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. And the kingdom is a wonderful place, because that is where God is king. He rules. The Prince of Peace rules there. He reigns. And where the Prince of Peace reigns, life is good. I mean, life is good. You have no idea how good life is. And that's why Jesus said, I have come to give you life. And that more abundantly. And, you know, instead of working hard and toiling like slaves, all we really need to do is seek first the kingdom, he said, and I'll add the other things to you. Man, God's heart is in the kingdom. And if we work for the kingdom, he's going to work for us. That's what he says. Okay, we'll get into that. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. We begin with Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at several scriptures references this morning. Luke chapter 4 and verse 42. Luke 4, verse 42. Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. I wonder why. Oh, they just love to be around him. They just wanted him to be there and teach them and be there. It's wonderful to be close to him. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. For this purpose I have been sent. It's amazing how Jesus starts his ministry by preaching the kingdom of God. That's the first thing he preached on, the kingdom of God. Repent. Change your thinking. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I found it interesting the other day to notice there in Acts chapter 1, and we can quickly go there, that is also the last thing he spoke about, was the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1. Reading from verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Isn't that interesting? He started his ministry by preaching the kingdom, and he ended his ministry after he arose from the dead, and before he went to the Father, he spent still another 40 days to talk to them about the kingdom of God. I believe it was very important to him to talk with his people about the kingdom. That we will understand what the kingdom is all about. We just read there in Luke that he said, for this purpose I came. For this purpose I came. To preach about the kingdom. To bring people out into the kingdom of God. It's not God's will for us to live outside of the kingdom, where there's another king. We spoke about that the other day. There are only two kings. And you don't want to be in the kingdom of darkness, where there's another king who's out there to rob you and steal from you and kill and destroy and all of that. You don't want to be in that kingdom. And so that's why Jesus said, for this purpose I came, to preach the kingdom of God. And as I read through the Gospels, I find out that most of the parables were about the kingdom of God. Most of the parables were about the kingdom of God. And you know, we talk about the Beatitudes there in the beginning of Matthew, several chapters, and all of that is about the culture of the kingdom, teaching us how to live in the kingdom of God. It is sad and tragic that so many Christians have the label of Christian, but they don't live in the kingdom of God, and they don't enjoy the benefits of the kingdom that Jesus purchased for us at the cross. There are wonderful benefits in the kingdom. Wonderful benefits. I read there in Luke chapter 10 where he sent out the 70, and he told them like this, go out, heal the sick, and tell them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's healing in the kingdom. There's healing in the kingdom. And he told the Pharisees, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of heaven has come near you. Boy, he was obsessed with the kingdom. And we should be obsessed with the kingdom, because that's the purpose for his coming, is for us to enter into the kingdom. We have this religious idea that the kingdom of God is when we bury our bodies and we go to the kingdom of God. No, the kingdom is here. Amen. And we can enter into that kingdom by making him Lord of our lives, first of all. You cannot slip in and not be in submission to the king of the land. You are born into the kingdom when you're born from above. And when Jesus becomes not only your Savior, but also your Lord. He becomes the boss. If you're still the boss, I have bad news for you. If you rule your own schedule, you better be careful. We have to say it the way it is. If you rule every minute of your day and your week, and you have say over it, well, then who's on your throne? Who's on the throne of your heart then? Come on now. You know, we're not religious here. This is a non-religious zone.
Amen.
We have to say things the way they are.
Right.
And I believe the proof of our citizenship is in how well we live with the benefits.
Right.
Amen. And so there are some wonderful benefits and there are some secrets in the kingdom. How do we get to those benefits? We can only lay our hands on those benefits. There are wonderful benefits. We look into some of that this morning. But they're hidden from our natural eyes. But they're available. And we can have them. Jesus didn't die that cruel, horrible death for nothing. It was not only to give you a free ticket to heaven. We were made for his glory. And God wants to look down on you. And like he did with Job, tell the devil, have you seen my son there? He bragged on him. Have you seen? You had him and you stripped him and you ruined his life. But now look at him. Well, there should be a difference between then and now. Otherwise, he has nothing to brag about. Where's the glory then? And so there are wonderful things hidden in the kingdom for us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. And I keep on talking about this. And you know, the Bible says you'll have what you say. The more we talk about it, the more we'll have it. Matthew 13. And that's a parable of the sower. And the more I read this parable, the more I find in it. And we understand that this is the most important parable because it's a parable about the Word of God. And it's amazing potential. Now, it says there in verse 10, after he told the story about the sower, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. Okay. Are we disciples? So then it's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. God wants you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What is a mystery? You look it up in the margin of your Bible, it will tell you. It's hidden truth. Hidden truth. Now God did not hide it from you. He hid it for you. But you need to go find it. You have to find it. He is hiding it for you because he wants you to find it. He wants you to discover it and then do something about it. Verse 12, for whoever has what? knowledge of the secrets, of the mysteries. For whoever has to him, more will be given. Now, I told you the kingdom is a kingdom of abundance. God's out there to give you some things. But it's the key. You need that the secret is the key to the treasure. And so you need to find that key. You need to find that key so that you can unlock the treasure. For whoever has to him, more will be given, and he will have what? Abundance. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of abundance. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of abundance. It's not a kingdom of poverty. It's not a kingdom of lack. It's not a kingdom of going without. Look, let's call a spade this morning. But if we stand before the Lord one day, and we come and he says, well, where's the fruit of your life? And you say, well, I'm sorry, Lord, but I never had much to give. Or I was always sick, I couldn't do much. It's going to be tough, people. It's going to be tough. Because you know what it'll say to you? By my stripes, I purchased healing for you. What did you do about that? It's a hidden truth that you should have discovered. Am I right? If he says, I showed you that the kingdom is a kingdom of abundance, and you'd say, well, I couldn't give anything to make things possible, to take the gospel around the globe, and he says, well, the kingdom was a kingdom of abundance, what are you going to say? We're going to have a tough time if we come with those excuses. To be honest with you, I don't think any excuse will fly. Because he gave us a treasure. And boy, if you know, my dad always said, if there's one day that you need to pray for, it's your wedding day. He was right. But even better than that, if there's a day we need to pray for, it's a day we're going to stand before the Lord. And boy, that day is coming. That day is coming. We're going to stand there. I'm telling you. We are going to stand before him and give account of what we did with our lives. And hidden inside of you are talents. They're hidden, but they're there. Nobody in this room came without talents. Nobody. Everybody has something that God gifted you with so that you can use that gift to advance his kingdom. You have a gift. And you, if you don't know what it is, you better go searching. Because you'll give account of what you did with that gift. Or it's hidden, I couldn't find it. I don't know what it is. Well, you better find it. I would make haste to find it because you have no guarantee that you'll be here tomorrow. Okay, well, we're going to spend some time on that on Sunday evenings. Discover your gift. Okay, but let's read on. Verse 12 again, for whoever has to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Wow. I always say that ignorance is our greatest enemy. Ignorance. Is it, if you don't know, even what you have will be taken away from you. Because there are two kingdoms. And there's one kingdom where the king is a thief. And he's coming to take away from you. But there's another king who wants to give. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see. Seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Seeing, I believe that pastors are probably the ones that know that scripture best. Because you can teach on something, and then the same week people ask you about that thing you taught on. Because hearing, they did not hear. And they were reading the Bible, but just never saw. And I've been through, man, what I'm telling you today was big for me a while ago. I'm sitting there one morning reading my Bible, and suddenly I said, whoa, wait a minute. I've been reading this parable for years. And I've been teaching from it. This is a wonderful, rich parable to preach from. And suddenly I saw something about the kingdom opening up before me. And seeing, for years I haven't seen. We read the Bible and we see, but we don't see. And we don't understand, and ignorance keeps on ruling our lives. And ruining our lives. Okay, now, we know that the seed in the parable of the sower is the Word of God. And I'm not surprised that Jesus used seed to explain what the Word of God is like, because seed has potential. Now, it doesn't look like much when you have a seed in your hand. Nothing to be excited about. But in that one seed is a treasure. Because you cannot calculate what can come out of that one seed. The potential is unlimited. You cannot calculate it. That's the Word of God. It's a treasure. There's a treasure hidden. And if we just look at the outside and we say, oh, well, it's just a seed. You put it away. I'm not going to read that. It's just the Bible. I've read it before. Then you see, but you don't see. And you miss the key to the wealth and the treasure of the kingdom. Why do we in the church need to discover that treasure? Man, we need to snap out of religion and get into the truth of the Word, connect our faith to it, and go running. We have abilities hidden that we don't even, and we go around and we say, and we pray for things that we already have. I'm just confessing our ignorance, because I don't know what I have. I don't know who I am in Christ. I'm useless. I can do nothing, I have nothing, and so on. In the meantime, God deposited a wealth inside of you. It's there. It's there. And the devil makes you believe, well, you have to work really hard to make it happen. And then we shift our focus from the kingdom, trying to reap some benefits, while God wants to give us the kingdom. And we'll get to that. All right. Now, verse 23 is a verse that I meditate on a lot. You have to memorize and meditate on verse 23. It's talking about the seed of the Word now. It says, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the Word and understands it. Boy, there's the discovery of the keys here. That he's talking about, who indeed bears fruit and produces. So understanding the Word will cause me to bear fruit and to produce. I don't know if you knew that, but you are a producer. You are a producer. What do you produce? You produce from the seed of the Word. What seed? What fruit? Bringing those hidden truths out and put them on full display of what God can do. I think one of the hidden things in that seed is by stripes you were healed. To many, that's a hidden truth. To many, it's a hidden truth. I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly. It's a hidden truth to many. Seeing, they don't see that. It's a hidden truth. But we can produce it. You have the ability built in, right into you. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, but we have the ability to do that. There's a secret. There are secrets in the kingdom, and it's for us to discover them. And I'm telling you today, the church has not spent a lot of time searching for the treasures. We have looked to make ourselves feel miserable and useless and incapable and fruitless and always in need. While, as a matter of fact, we were blessed. We have the life of God on the inside. The love of God was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You don't have to pray for more love. You've got it. Use it. Resurrection power is at work toward you. You don't have to pray for more power. You got more than you can handle. Hidden truth. Hidden truth. We don't know who we are, people, and we don't know what we have, but we are dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Dangerous. You are God's best secret weapon. It's hidden. And it's time to discover the secret. You know, we come to church to hear a good sermon. We're in religion. We're in religion. We come to get wood on the fire. That's why we come. To get fueled up. So that we can burn for Him. And run fast. And we can do better than we can. Because of this. God equipped us with good things. But Jesus said, if you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, what do you go around praying for power? There's a miserable song they used to sing, more love, more power. And I think, what a confession of ignorance. What a confession of ignorance put to a tune. But God has given us more than we can handle. And boy, we discover, if the church discovers who we are and what we have, this world will be different. It will be a different place. Be a different place. And shake off that laziness. There's a lot of excuses that cover up this simple laziness. It's laziness. That's all. Matthew chapter 6. It's okay to have fun, right? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27. Well, let's just to add to that, verse 25. Now, this is Jesus speaking. This is not the pastor speaking. This is Jesus speaking here. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. If you worry, you sin. Because you're disobedient. Is that right? You're disobedient. If you worry, you're disobedient. Don't ask for God to give you this and give you that. Ask Him to get the worry out of your life. And disobedience. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? What can you accomplish by worrying? Nothing. Nothing. You accomplish nothing by worrying. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Okay. I don't know if you saw that hidden little truth there. There's big thing hidden in that verse. Big. It is so big that I'm not sure we can receive it. So big it is. There's a scale there. There's a scale. And the scale is like this. Right at the bottom of the scale is Solomon in all his glory. That's the bottom of the scale. Have you read about Solomon? In his day, silver was rubbish. And now he's at the bottom. Solomon in all his glory. One step up is the lilies. Jesus said, your father clothes the lilies even better than Solomon in all his glory. Who's at the top? Us. Can you see that? Can you see what God thinks of you and what he has for you? That Solomon, and I read on him up the other day about his wealth, and I said, boy, this is amazing. The wealth the man had. He had no idea what he had. And now Jesus comes and puts him right at the bottom of the scale. The kingdom is a kingdom of abundance. Boy, we need to get that secret. Let me tell you, we need that secret to come to the surface. We need to meditate on this one until it explodes on the inside of us. Now, verse 30, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, people who don't have God. That's what they're concerned with, and that's what they live for, is to eat well, dress well, have a nice car, have a nice house. That's it. And then you die and it's all gone. That's what they live for. That is what that's where they pour their energy into. Right? For verse 32. After all these things, a Gentile seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But, and here's the key. Here is the key. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. If the only way, the only reason why you get into your car and enter that miserable commute up on the highway every morning is to eat well and dress well and have a nice house and a nice car, you do what the Gentiles do. But if you get into that car and you say, I'm seeking the kingdom, God says, and all these things shall be added to you. I think God's looking for some brave people. He's looking for people who can take a stand of faith. Because the kingdom is big. The kingdom is rich. And you can live in it right now. You can live in it right now. I want to do a few more. We have to take time for God just to get it through to us. Is that okay? Second Corinthians, chapter 4. I have a lot to say. I don't think I can get it into this morning. But the kingdom is worth spending your life on. Second Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In every earthen vessel, there's a treasure. God took Moses, who was a murderer, and inside of him hid the greatest leader the Israelites ever had. Gideon was a coward. And he was a man of inferiority complexes. He was the least of the least in his own eyes. Yet hidden in him was a great conqueror and a general. Hidden. It was hidden even to himself. He didn't know that. But you have no idea what God has hidden inside of you. You say, I'm an earthen vessel. I'm not like this, and I can't speak, and I can't do this, and I cannot do that. You will be surprised what God can hide in that earthen vessel. In David, the youngest of the sons, shepherd boy that they forgot about in the family, God hid the greatest king they ever had. In Paul, a persecutor of the church, the greatest apostle. Hidden secret. Secret. I wonder what's hidden in you. I'm wondering what's hidden inside of you. And if you would bother to find that out and do something about it. But we're so concerned, just like the Gentiles, with how can I pay my bills? We're so concerned, just like the Gentiles. We're so concerned with all of that. While the kingdom is there, let's close with Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And verse 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Anxious minds are minds that are under the control of the destroyer. He's king there. Verse 30, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. Isn't that enough for us that he knows? Shouldn't that be enough that God knows? And don't focus on your needs. He knows about it. You focus on the kingdom. He focuses on your needs. Verse 31, there he says it, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Now look at verse 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All you ask for is to have your bills paid, and God says, I got the kingdom for you. Why would we worry about the bills if we can have the kingdom? Boy, we need this thing to be, we need to see and understand. Some lives need to change here. Come on, some lives need to change. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. And He adds no sorrow with it. If you have sorrow in obtaining that, then you need to come over into the kingdom. There's no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Don't go beyond that. It's more than you can handle. It's more than you can contain. It's more than you can even understand. I said we're going to do one more, but I want to do one more. We always do one more. And where is that? Just give me a minute. We need to see that. The kingdom is not the same as the old kingdom we came out of. It's not the same. If it was the same, there would be no need for it. It's meant to be different. And different enough to make it happen. Matthew 11. Verse 11. Matthew 11, verse 11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. All right? Do you have inferiority complexes? You are greater than John the Baptist. Because you're in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And he was the greatest of all born from a woman. You'll have to think about this. You'll have to meditate on this. Because you're hearing with your ears, but you have to hear with your spiritual ears. You know, Jesus said, those who have ears, let them hear. He's not talking about these ornaments next to their, you know, the side of their head. You're talking about the spiritual ears. Because hearing, they did not hear. They went home and said, oh, we heard the teacher told the story of a sower. They missed the secret. They never got to the key. And they went home with the story of a sower. While the greatest key of all time was within their reach. It was right there hidden where they could see it. And they missed it. They missed it. It came so close to them. But they missed it. God, we can't miss this. We cannot afford to miss this any longer. We need to get our hands on those keys. We need to get our hands on the key. We need to get it. We need to get to the secret. The world is waiting. The world, all creation is groaning, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. We cannot afford to be religious We have to be citizens of the kingdom. We must take possession of what the Father wants to give us as his good pleasure. You know, it's tragic when Christians go begging, God, I need to pay my bills. While God's standing there and he says, but I have a kingdom for you. It's the kingdom. It's tragic. And it's sad that we've reduced ourselves to that place where we have to become beggars. Well, we have the kingdom with all its wealth ready to be given to us. God, open our eyes that we may see and that we may know. That's why Paul prays in the Ephesians. He says, Lord, open our spiritual understanding that we may know. Writes in Corinthians, he says, that we may know what has been freely given unto us. You don't have to beg for it. It's ours. Let's get our minds on the kingdom. Can we be brave today and get our minds off the bills and on to the kingdom? Let God add what we need. Let's get into the kingdom. Let's focus on the kingdom. Let's be people of faith. Let's trust him. What do you say? Let's trust him to do what he said. And then we'll do what he wants us to do. Amen. Let's all stand. If you have an inferiority complex today, then you need to focus on that one thing. If you say, I cannot and I have not, then you need to understand what God has for you. It's paid for. You don't have to pay for it. It's paid for. You just grab it by faith today. You know, that's why Jesus, even it says here in verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. We've been taught that Christians shouldn't be violent. How violent are you in your pursuit of the kingdom? We better be violent. We better be. Complacency has no room in the kingdom of God. No room. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes to see what's hidden for us. And now, Lord, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you open our eyes. Open the eyes of your people. Father, open our eyes. Give us spiritual understanding. Give us spiritual eyesight. Give us spiritual vision. Let us know who we are and what we have. What you have freely given unto us. Father, thank you that you equipped us well. We are well able to do what you call us to do. We are well able. You equipped us well. Help us to see and to know and to understand. And to be all that you created us to be. We pray in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.